the one that is other than itself, and yet it is itself. I make this statement. The one is other than itself, and yet remains itself. This is a statement I make. This is one of the famous sentences of the Rigveda. It is itself, but moves by itself, which is also itself. It is itself which moves by other than itself, which is yet itself. Nanunam asti no shvaha. This is Sanskrit, you may not understand it. Nanunam asti no shvaha kas tadveda yat adbhutam. Anyasya chittam abhisancharinyam. Anyasya chittam abhisancharinyam. Utadhitam vinashyati. This is the full sentence of the Rigveda. He says, that which I see, spiritually, is neither here, nor will it be tomorrow. Is neither here, nor will it be tomorrow. But I see. I see that which is neither here nor will it be tomorrow. Who can know it? This is the question mark that the seer puts us. Who can know it? It is wonderful. The very statement shows it is something very surprising. That which I see is neither here nor will it be tomorrow. Who knows it, that which is wonderful? Then it says, it is itself, but moves by another, which is itself. It is itself, which moves by another, which still is itself. When you think of it, it vanishes. It is inconceivable. That is, when you think of it, you can't conceive of it. So it is inconceivable. So when you try to conceive, it vanishes. It is, you cannot hold it in your concept. Now all this is to introduce to you the two sentences which you read yesterday. Because we spoke of certain statements which are inconceivable. That which is not moving is swifter than the mind. This is inconceivable. But this is what the Upanishad describes. That which is unmoving is swifter than the mind. A statement which is inconceivable. But that is what the Upanishad gives you. And it says also, that although it stands, and when you run, you find it always remains standing before you. You run. If it only stands, and when you run, if it does not run at all at the same time, it will remain stationary where it is. But now this Upanishad says, it stands, and if you run, and however much you run, you always find it stands in front of you. Pardon? If you want that object, but supposing you don't want that object, it is such a surprising object that even if you don't want that object, and you run, you always find it being in front of you, without running. That is the description. Whether you want it or not, if you want, of course you can always stand before it, you don't need to run. But supposing you don't want, and you run, but wherever you run, however fast you run, you find it is always in front of you. Such is the magic of this reality. On the other hand, it is such that even the gods who run the fastest, even they cannot reach it. Even by running fastest, you cannot reach it.
So that's why in the West we want to go so fast.
Yeah, they want to catch it.
But it's inconceivable in what I mean.
You are right.
It is. So we can't conceive it anywhere. Where is it? It's supposed to somehow.
No.
It
gives you a kind of a shock to your mind. Yes?
Isn't it conceivable that there is that which must run and there is that which need not run? That is always...
always there. You can conceive it, is it? You can.
The level of existence. It's not my level.
The rishis that wrote this, could they conceive it? Or did they just
assume it?
The physicists who say the particle is the same as a wave. It's a similar statement. It's true, but not conceivable. They know it is not conceivable.
But then how do they know?
It's a fact. This is exactly the point. I am very happy that this is exactly the point I want to underline. There is a way of knowing which is beyond conceivability or inconceivability. Right? There is a way of knowing which is beyond conceivability and inconceivability. That is spiritual experience. Therefore, philosophical knowledge is different from this whole domain of spirituality.
But the rishis, they understood this through meditation, no?
Yes. Meditation is one of the methods. Not the only method, but it's one of the meditations. One of the methods. Yes.
When it gives that shock to your mind, do your mind keep silent or does it get agitated?
Depends upon your attitudes. But both ways it is good. Both ways. You are shocked by the statement that is made and makes you alert. What is it? Is it abracadabra? It could be. It's also a question for you. Somebody who is talking to you, is he a madman? But before you prove that he's a madman, you should be sure that he's a madman. I mean, how would you prove?
But can we perceive this without meditation?